Getting my worship team back together. They've been far and near. And as you know, Alan is the last to return. And he has this issue going on with his shoulder, but we have good news this week that they can fix it with just laparoscopic surgery, so it should be minimal recovery time here in the middle of August. And I told him by the time, you know, when you can rub your belly, you better be back up here. That's because that's all you, you know. And so, well, anyways, thank you for all being here, and continue to appreciate your incredible giving. And I thank you because I never have to talk about it. That's huge for a pastor. I don't have to. Talk about. I have to do things. And if I teach on tithing or giving, it's for your benefit, not because the church is trying to survive. And because I have a good team of people working with me, we're administrating and working with our, delegating our finances and using wisdom, and we're able to take care of things by you giving, and I don't have to ask for stuff. We have to do a repair on the parking lot and this upper ditch and driveway that's been caving in. So it's like going to be $9,000, but it's going to resolve things because you had water running all winter and spring across the front of the driveway. And there's, of course, it's so dry now you don't see it, but it'll be back. And so just we're able to do those things and take care of it. And I don't have to make a big spiel about it. It's awesome. It's really. So thank you so much for your faithful giving, and I trust you just give, you continue to give us unto the Lord. And so I want you to be blessed. So let's make this declaration. As we receive today's offering, we are believing you for heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, and miracles created, dreams and visions, angelic visitations, declarations, impartations, and divine manifestations. Anointings, giftings, and calls, positions and promotions, provisions and resources to go to the nations, souls and more souls from every generation, saved and set free, carrying kingdom revelation. Thank you, Father, that as I join my value system to yours, you will show favor, blessings, and increase upon me, so I have more than enough to co-labor with heaven and see Jesus get his full reward. Hallelujah. Amen. Often when you give and really get your finances in order, start giving to the Lord and make that a priority, boy, you can really get challenged about it, and it can take time for the fruit to come. Sometimes it's instant. I notice that when we're young in the Lord, it's instant. When we're older in the Lord, it's tested more. Anybody else notice that? And but the testing is fine. And sometimes you can feel direction and you're doing something out of obedience. I go back to one of the things that's just always very present to me is Adam and Summer, when they were in New York, newly married, really financially prospering, incredibly prospering. And they both felt, they felt they had to come back here, to the church, especially to the church, and to be a part of this. And so they made that decision, having great confidence, the Lord would take care of them. And they went through some pretty lean years. I mean, you have to spend much time living with your in-laws. It's lean, you know. It's tough, so it's lean for the in-laws, and it's lean for the, but they just hung in there, and I went through a lot of the times when they're just really questioning whether God was going to come through. They felt so clearly to come, and I feel that way about all of our young adults that could be any place on the, you know, on the planet, literally, not just the nation, with the jobs and the qualifications that they have and the educations and degrees that they have. And they come here. I mean, we have Michigan people, you know, here because there's something drawing and calling. Someday the whole family may just move down here to save gas. It's always a blessing to have Bev and Gary with them. And and slowly I'm stealing their children, and I don't apologize for that. So, yeah, no. Brock, can we make an announcement about you, or is it a big secret? Brock is engaged to Melissa that come. And that's exciting because you came here, again, you came because you felt you were to come here. And though Melissa wasn't from here, it was just the Lord started putting your life together. And when you came, you're like all dressed up and nowhere to go, you know. I'll go down there where Corwin's at, you know, like, you know, that's. And I felt good about that, but it's important to me to see things come together for people when they make that step. I mean, I carry that. I feel that. So, he's met Melissa. She's a real sweetheart. So I'm excited about their life and the days ahead for them. So the Lord's faithful. He actually is. Give it a chance. Give it some time. And I'll have to read you this scripture. I read yesterday morning or this morning out of the Passion Translation in Proverbs. We're in the midst of this presidential, you know, what do you call that? Yeah. And that thing. And I read this. I'm like, here, this is where, and I've been encouraging you, stay in a good place. Stay in the kingdom. Don't go there. You'll get killed. You can go there, but you won't feel good about life, you know. And stay in the kingdom, and then you can be objective, and you can be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And here is Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. It is as easy for God to steer a king's heart, no matter what king. It's as easy for God to steer a king's heart for his purposes as it is for him to direct the course of a stream. Now, that puts things back in perspective. Who's in control? Who's in control? That applies to Mondays and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. That also applies at 6:30 when the news comes on. That applies when you look at your phone and see the news feeds. That applies all the time. That applies when you, you know, click on that little icon that has an F in the middle of it, you know, and all the good stuff that comes there, you know, the Facebook stuff. But God is in control. That can calm you down, and then you can be a part of the solution instead of getting caught up in that, the anxiety of that. And I had, the Lord's been confirming things. One morning in my just prayer time with the Lord, sitting on our back porch, we've just been enjoying we're not going on an actual vacation this year, but Phyllis and I have enjoyed our, you know, the home, the house, the front yard, the back deck, the whatever, and all of this weather, though it's gotten quite hot and dry, it's been like a sanctuary for us, and we've just enjoyed our mornings, and oh my gosh, I mean, it's often right around us, it's at hand, but the stuff going on in here and in here can keep you from seeing how sweet it is. And waking up, and you know, I love the concept of getting to wake up the dawn, you know, to bring that and be there, and to hear the song, the birds and the singing and the songs, and to pay attention to this one and this song and this voice and this song and this voice. And it's all around, but it just gets lost in the back, you know, it just becomes background noise if you don't purposefully pay attention. And there's a sweetness and just a solitude in that. And one morning I made the simple decision about stepping into something in my personal life, but it has to do with my ministry, of course, and everything seems to be all. And it was about leading from a new place and a new platform, a better place, and leading here. And That afternoon, I get a message from Jamie Overholt, who's very prophetic, and he gives me this word, and he's like, "There's something that you're pondering," and the Lord's like, "If you want to go after that, like go after it. He's with you. If you will do it." I'm like, "Oh my gosh! Talk about a quick response to a simple decision." And so I'm not going to share that right now, what that is, but I will, because I want to take time with it. But I'm just changing my focus, and it's good, and it's where I've been called to get to. So go in there. And in the midst of that, and things that came after that, Bill Johnson says something all the time that he says, I never tried to grow a big church. Which the ministry, Bethel Ministry, has become one of the most significant on the planet, in my opinion. And then people come and like, how did you get your success? And how did you? It's like, I never tried to grow a big church. I just tried to grow big people. And that it's a great, like, grow big people and cultivate faith in our people and who's at hand and see who is at hand. Come into things and come into blessing and prosperity and break oppressions and break things. And I was pondering on that. Then my heart, I go, how do you do that well? And the answer is that I felt the Spirit say, if you want to grow big people, be big people, be a big person. And the big has to do with living at a higher level of integrity in the secret place. That's the bigness. The bigness is about being the real deal inside. And often the temptation, the ensnarement of ministry, but it's for all of you, Christianity. You see this, you step into it. It's not long if you're not guarding over your heart that you're performing. You're trying to do the Christian thing, act the Christian way. You catch yourself still getting angry and doing this or that. And you're like, you want to slap yourself, and I've got to behave better. And somebody saw me do that, and I got to get it together. And it's about how we're acting, and we approach it maybe just from a wrong place. We do, because we're trying to change behavior rather than changing what's inside. Because what's in here just comes out. So we go try to control our mouth, but the real thing to control is your heart. If you control your heart, you don't have to worry about your mouth. You don't have to try harder to stop saying wrong things and speaking wrong things. When the heart changes, this just is just the expression of what's going on here. So if you believe in your heart, you'll believe with your mouth and your confession. How many of you, help me with this, were actually here last Sunday and saw the video by Seth Dahl? Raise your hand so I can see. So a good number of you were. Seth Dahl, who's just in charge of the children's ministry at Bethel, young guy. Awesome testimony. He was a drug dealer, on drugs, all kinds of stuff as a very young. And he gets radically saved, and he makes this transformation, or this transformation takes place in his life, comes incredible, has an incredible testimony. And so out of that, he's in charge of the children's ministry. And how many of you know that's always a good thing, because the kingdom of heaven is childlike, not childish, but it's childlike. The faith that you're after is the childlike faith. That's the goal. Get childlike. So you kind of like have to demote yourself to that. The goal is to get rid of all this mature analytical reasoning. Isn't that your biggest enemy anyways? Thinking. The Spirit moves you, and what hinders you? The Spirit leads you on any given day about any given thing. What's the actual biggest hindrance? Your mind, your inhibitions, and what do they come from? They come from, better not, what will they think? It's your mind's kicked into gear, and you're analyzing, And the childlikeness just moves, just goes. And we want to return to that. And I found I've also been praying more. I was telling Phyllis, I'm praying again in a refreshed way for the unction from the Holy One. I think it's 1 John, to move out of an unction. And I'm like, I don't want to condemn myself about not doing certain things when actually my prayer needs to be, Lord, give me the unction. Because when I have the unction, have y'all had the unction to move, to go, to speak? Like when you got that, you're just like, it's just something inside of you pushing. Like it's, and you're just doing it. You just step into it. You go, wow, I don't know what came over me. I just started sharing. I just started speaking. I just prayed for someone. The unction, just came on you. It's that movement from in your heart or just, boom, that's nice. And that's actually what we want. We want that unction from the Holy One to move us and to compel us and to be childlike. Well, Seth Dahl gives this teaching is so good. And it was really not about children, but it is, but it's not. But it was about this thing. One of the best, I hadn't actually ever heard anybody put this together like this about a reason, be careful about what you say and the power of your words. And he used two main illustrations in Scripture. One was the birth of John the Baptist, and his father was Zechariah. And when the angel announced to him that Elizabeth was pregnant, he like had a bad response to that. Like, what? How can that be? Like, well, are you kidding me? You know, it's like, what? And the angel's like, what? We can't have that. You got to be quiet for a while. You know, spiritual mute. We love the mute buttons, huh? You know, have one on your TV, have one on whatever. Sometimes you want to point that, have any of the rest of you done this? Like you envision having a remote control and someone just da 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 da, and you're like just wishing that you had you could just push the mute button. And the angel, and I was like, why did he do that? Like, was that punishment? You're not allowed to talk anymore till this baby's born. And Seth Dahl says that was so he wouldn't ruin the word, prophecy. Because you have more power over your destiny. Your declarations has more power over your destiny than the enemy's voice. Like, why? Shut up. No way. We work hard at wanting to silence them. Like, life will be good if we could silence all the protesters, all the, you know, all the say, the ones that are, you know, negative and saying bad things. If we could just silence that, stop, block it out, put headphones on, like, stop out the noise. And actually, the one that has the most power over your destiny is you and your voice. Excuse me. And then the scenario of the children of Israel surrounding Jericho, and they come to the city the Lord wants them to take, and the instructions were to walk around the city and be quiet. That's really kind of a funny command. And Seth Dahl says this is really cute, like it's really profound. He says, so just be silent while you're walking in circles in your life. Anybody feel like they're walking in circles? And sometimes that's just exactly what you're supposed to do. Just walk in circles. Just don't talk. Just don't say how you feel at that moment. Don't rattle your mouth and go, this is a waste of time. This is stupid. Nothing's happening. We're not doing, what's this going to accomplish? We're just going around in circles. Hold that thought. Be careful. Because in the kingdom, no circle is wasted time. Not in heaven's eyes. Us, we're like, stuff's got to be happening, especially America. Like, stuff's got to be happening. You don't waste time. You don't do something seemingly for nothing, right? We're like all in a hurry. I've watched, it's in all of our lives. We're in a hurry to get home and do nothing. Take her easy. Enjoy the ride. The journey's as fun as the arrival. Just enjoy it. And then at the strategic moment, Israel was told, now shout. On the seventh time, shout. And the walls came down. And here's the thing. Make note. The people of Jericho were not silenced. At first, they may have been afraid, and then they're like standing on the walls saying things, because they do. Don't they? They're not quiet. They say things. They stand up on the top of the wall and shout things at you. Probably not good things, like you're not going to get a compliment on your hair from them. You're not going to get a compliment on your achievements from them. Matter of fact, they're going to voice all the things that you're fearing inside. You're wasting your time. This is stupid. We're going to kill you. You're dead here. And so this huge, I went, oh my gosh, we've got to learn to be quiet. You know those days you wake up and the hopelessness sets in and you just feel so discouraged and go, this is never going to happen. And I mean, the word of the Lord is just shut up, just be quiet. Don't speak that. Don't give voice to it, because there's no enemy that has as much power as you do speaking bad about that. You'll be the most free with your loved ones. The people you love the most, you'll be running your mouth the most too. We feel like we can get them changed if we intimidate them, shame them into it. You lazy, no good for nothing kids, you know, or whoever else or whatever else. And so big upgrade on, like, oh my gosh, I've been practicing that. Like I've been, but this teaching, like, wow. And you have this real urge to just speak how you're feeling, like, oh, you know, it's just feelings, not the truth. And sometimes it's so hard through the summertime. I don't know why it is, but it's sometimes hard to feel connected and close to the Lord. Almost every believer will talk about that. It's a beautiful, wonderful time, and you can feel distance from Him. Like, just be. Just don't cave into that. Do what you know is right. Stay in a good place. Walk in faith. Believe that He is, whether you perceive Him or not, whether you see Him or not, whether you heard or not, just go on the last thing you heard, you'll be good. Just walk that out, fulfill that, do that. I've also been thinking a lot about the importance of, you know, we're a people, I say this to myself a lot, we want to live in Romans 8, not in Romans 7. We're a people of Romans 8, life in the Spirit. Romans 7 is, I do everything I don't want to do. I don't do what I want to do. I'm a hot mess. Thanks God, you know, thanks be to God for Jesus, you know. But I'm, you know, there's this hopelessness that sets in, that you can't break habits, you can't get out of old things. People have always treated you this way, and they probably always will. There's this thing, you know, I'm steadfast. I'm gonna hang in here. I'm gonna just keep going at it. But it is what it is. I'll always have this problem. That's Romans 7. It wasn't a place to stay. It was a process. It was a place that Paul had been. It's a past tense. Romans 8 opens up, and it's life in the Spirit and all of these promises. So without going into the whole study of those two chapters and differentiation, live in the promise of the Spirit and the death of the flesh and the being an overcomer, truly being in that. Well, I felt directed to, this is declarations. There may still be copies in the back. I love this by Steve Backlund. And I felt to just go over something today with you. It's about personal growth. And I was listening to another teaching by Steve Backlund today. He's such a pastor's pastor and really does a lot of stuff with encouraging leaders. And he said, I want to be, when it comes to personal growth, I want to be the most aggressive person in my whole church to go after personal growth. on some of the vision that I've gotten for direction that I want to go with the church has to do with an added, one little key to that I will share is that one little thing that I want to really promote and, you know, get up front here where we really can see is that, and I've not valued this in my life, I have in the last years, but previous, is growing and always pursuing growth. And when it comes to areas of being equipped and trained, or it comes to areas of being ministered and to be healed, like areas you think see in your life or areas you want, like to prioritize that and begin to realize, I don't know what it was that kept me at bay from that. The devil. We'll just throw it all to him like that. It was bad, yeah. But to have this attitude, this I would like for this to be from the whole church, that we have this whole different attitude, like really value being equipped and trained, and that you take that on, that you primarily carry the desire for that. It needs to be you. It cannot just be force-fed, or it can't just be up front. But for you to understand that once you've identified your gift and callings, and you just do by seeing what you love, what makes your heart come alive, then find ways, and without excuses, just find ways to get trained in that and equipped in that. And when you discover areas in your life that are strongholds, instead of living in Romans 7 where you just concede, oh, I'll always be like this. I always have problems with my emotions, controlling myself. I always have problems with my finances. I'll always be this, that, the other thing. My relationships will always be whatever, you know. Instead of living in Romans 7, that we come into Romans 8 and go, there's hope. And whatever needs to come down, it has to come down. Whatever stronghold exists, I don't have to live with that. It can change. This is the problem when something gets diagnosed, like a mental problem, an emotional problem, a physical problem, a condition, a whatever. It may be the facts, and you don't have to hide from that, but it does not need to be your identity and your destiny. That's the difference. Don't let it become your destiny. It may be what you're struggling with right now, but don't let it become your identity. Once it becomes your identity, you embrace it like it becomes you. You know, not all people that get healed from even things serious as blindness or lameness do well with the healing. Why would that be? Because that condition became their identity. And when it's taken away, they literally fall apart. Like, I know, that's really sad, but that's what happens when something about that you struggle with becomes you and who you are. We don't want that. Like, we won't want to give into that. And what if the biggest key to you staying in it is that you embrace it in a way where it's who you are? It's not who you are. It may be in reality what you struggle with or where the stronghold is, but it's not who you are. Or it's not in your family line. You go, everybody in my family had this problem. Well, curse it like baloney. It stops here. My bloodline is in Jesus. It's not in that. And we'll teach it from up here. You'll sit and agree with that. But in reality, in your private world, in your thinking and your thoughts, you embrace these other things. It needs to go. The worst thing that we do, anytime we hear truth and we sit and nod our head, but there's not a real movement to change, that's the worst thing you can do. You'd be better off going, I don't believe that. You'll be closer to getting delivered if you just resist it. That's true. You're better off to just have a hard time with something, go, blah, baloney, you know, and then get convicted about it, than to go, oh, yeah, we need to do that, and then never do anything. That's the worst. Because there's something about, I read this once or heard it. You nod your head, something in your conscience goes, there, you did it. You didn't do nothing. You just moved your head. That's all you did. You didn't change anything. You don't have a plan to change. We should, you know, be this or that. Oh, yeah, we should. Go home and don't do anything. That's bad. These are the things that are encompassed in becoming a big person, where you start to keep your word, where you pay attention to the little things in your private life. That's what makes you a big person. When you go after core issues, when you treat things. And so Steve Backlund, back to this personal growth, he says, I want to be like the champion in my church as a pastor. You'd think that'd be a given, but not necessarily. The personal growth, I'm pursuing personal growth more than anybody else. That I never have this sense, and this is the temptation when you're in any position, you're comfortable, you go, I've arrived. Don't ever get there. Don't do that. Phyllis was reminding me, Mike Bickle always says this in his teachings, there is no such thing as neutral. You're either going forward or backwards. And any of you that have gone canoeing or rafting, you know, you're neutral. If you need to paddle upstream, you've got to mean to do that. If you quit, you don't stay still. You start losing ground, don't you? I gotta catch up. I've got to go. So your spiritual life's the same way. There's no neutral. Neutral is losing ground. Kicking it out of gear is losing ground. Now, Jesus said, my yoke's not heavy. It's not burdensome. My grace is sufficient. You can paddle upstream. You can move forward. But if you just coast, you won't be just sitting still. You'll be losing ground. And your second state will be worse than your first. So we want to pursue and prioritize personal growth. The scriptures, this is just number 10 of in the declarations. Like, it's like a devotional. I love this little book. And I have been crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20, if you want to turn there. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. So you're created in the image of God. That's something to never lose sight of. That's whose image you're created in. That's your identity. That's who you look like. That's who you're supposed to look like. And I know every one of you have compared yourself to your parents, who you came from, your family lines. And the older you get, the more you watch this, right? The more you're aware of things. And who you need to have your eyes on and who you're like is your father, in whose image you were created. You're created in his image. Our new babies are born. Who do they look like, you know? And the game starts, you know. We're looking at, oh, they look like they're, you know, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, you know, third cousin twice removed, you know, whatever. Sometimes I think people are making all that up. Then there's other times I go, oh, my gosh, there's, you know, you can see a certain person in the family. So even I'm dense with that, but even sometimes I can see that. Here's your goal. Here's your goal. Hang on. This will be a little tough for some of you. When you look in the mirror, what you see is your father. What you see is Jesus. When you look in the mirror, when you see your reflection, you start to see, I'm becoming like Dad. I'm becoming like my father. I'm starting to have his attitudes. I'm starting to have his love. I'm starting to have his patience. I think I'm starting to look like Jesus. I'll be. When shame is alive and well in your life, you'll hardly be able to look at yourself. If you can't stand the sight of your reflection, just understand, that's not humility. That's junk. If the sight of your reflection causes a reaction, emotion, like, ah, that's not good. Don't stay there. Don't call that a good thing. Go, oh boy. When the cleansing comes, when the relationship gets healthy between you and your father, that changes. You start to love yourself. Maybe that's the goal we're all on. Maybe that's the journey we're all on. I'm gonna walk this out till I love myself. When's the last time somebody brought that up to you? The declarations. Intentionality is key to my personal growth. Every day I do something that develops me. The word intentionality implies this, that you decide, I'm going to grow. I'm not conceding. I'm not staying like this. I'm going to learn more. I'm going to grow. I'm going to do better. When I'm not doing well, I'm going to get help. I intend to grow. I'm not staying immature. I'm not saying I'm always going to be like this. I want to grow. I am growing daily in my character, integrity, love, organization, communication, and leadership. Again, we get stuck. We see these areas in our life. We throw in the towel. I'll never be good at this. We start to live a life of just coping and a life of conceding. Someone asks you, wow, that's a mess in your life. Yeah, that's how I am. Don't have to do that. That's bad. That's that poverty spirit that's here in our area. Like, no. I regularly read books and listen to talks on personal development that cause me to grow exponentially. What kills me is, I'll just say people, I don't want to qualify anybody. Say, oh, I don't read or I can't read. Whatever. Do you realize there's actually only a very small amount of people here anyways that actually cannot read? I'll say it anyways. Men are some of the classic guys, they'll go, oh, I don't read much. Whatever. You read. It just needs to be car magazines or motorcycle magazines or fishing magazines. Oh my gosh. Just get you on the subject. And it was like, oh, you read quite a bit. You read plenty. Reading renews your mind. Any change that I want to make in my life, I start reading on that subject. I can't explain this. I really can't. I just know if I want to really change something, like my eating habits, I need to renew my mind. I need information. I can make all the pledges, promises, be in conversations, and blah, blah, blah. I can curse myself, be upset at myself, throw a whip on my back, like, don't, you know. Nothing changes me until I start renewing my mind. When I renew my mind, I start reading, listening, watching things that happen. Then the changes start. I am empowered to change. It's that powerful. So that's one example. Read books. Encourage yourself. Read things that are positive. I set measurable, attainable goals for my growth. It's so true. It's like set goals, look at goals, but let them be attainable. We all go way extreme, like easy. Just move forward. No skyscrapers. If you're not Superman yet, don't try to leap over tall buildings. Like baby steps. The Lord is causing me to grow without me even knowing the extent of it. And that's true. Once you get into walking things out with him, you'll get the joy of going, wow, I'm changing. Sometimes we'll celebrate that between Phyllis and I. We'll go, hey, baby, look at that. Wow, you know, that's the new me. I had a lot of room for her. So there's a lot of things to celebrate, like, you know. So we have things that I go, oh wow, she's like right there with me, like, yeah, wow, yeah, good, that's great. We celebrate progress. We acknowledge in each other things where we're changing, we're growing. It doesn't help to keep discouraged about things that aren't or haven't changed, but it really makes a big, when you start celebrating little things, it's huge. I am committed to a lifelong personal growth plan. In other words, it's that decision. I'll never be done growing. There's no attaining till I'm with Jesus. And when I get information about heaven, read books, hear things, this boggles my mind. I don't understand this. I'm just going to repeat what I heard. That learning and training doesn't stop in heaven. And I don't even get that. But I hear that a lot. Like, really? Heaven's not sounding as boring as I thought it might be. When I was young, I'm like, man, heaven sounds so boring. I'm just like, what, you know, there's nothing to overcome. There's nothing to do. Isn't that funny? Like, I realized when I was young, I even wrote a song about it. It was a depressing song. I don't want any of you to say it. But it was an expression of, in so many words, it was like, heaven sounds boring. Like, give me a, and in the song, when I would write these silly songs, but it was like, give me a vision of what it really is like. And in my life, the Lord's been giving me, he's been answering that. It was a prayer. It was a cry, you know. It's like we're so short-sighted at these things. I am a catalyst for personal growth in others. Do you know that when you're growing and when you're moving forward, you don't have to do this intentionally. You just will be a catalyst for others. It affects other people when you go after things and you're pursuing things. I mean, this is a big deal when you get into our age, hitting our 60s, and we're still, it's like, why would you want to try to learn anything at that point? Isn't that funny? Like, have any of the rest of you had to deal with that? It's a stronghold of belief. And I just love encountering people that are still learning, still growing. You go, why would you do that? And they're, if they value this, they go, why wouldn't you? Want me to sit around and just, you know, like they're still learning, still growing, still, because there's value. It's valuable in itself. It's a good journey to be, it's edifying. It keeps you young. I think the best thing that happens to grandparents is grandchildren. You just start to get settled in and stiff and whatever, and then you have to watch your grandchildren sometime pretty soon. Now I remember watching, sorry, Diane, I have to use you. I remember, you know, Samuel was there young in the house running around. He had her young again. It wasn't long. She's running around the table playing, you know, singing songs and playing games with him. I remember observing this like, huh. I just remember observing. I didn't even have a, I just remember seeing it. I saw it. I went, huh, you're running again. I wasn't even doing that, you know. I saw her being childlike again, even in her physical activities. And I went, oh, it was actually good. It was a good thing. I just remember making that little observation. I didn't even know where to put it, but I went, huh. Growing, becoming childlike again, being on adventure. I have a community of people I invest in and grow with. Oh yeah, baby. Find your people. Be in your people. This is another big key thing. Find your people. Find who. This is another thing about, this is in my vision for what I want to see the church come into, see everybody come into. Find the people you're to be walking kingdom out with. Find them and invest in that and spend time there. This is really key. And it's not even easy. It's in, the local church, the whole value of it is that the local church is full of imperfect people. It's, can I just tell you, it's supposed to be that way? So stop searching for the perfect church to be a part of. Because that the Lord's like, oh, no, that's not the point. I'm looking for just the right people. That's not the point. It's about finding almost the right people. It's about finding the people that are less than perfect. If it was a perfect group of people, yeah, there'd be no growth there. You wouldn't get to exercise things that need exercised. I mean, I'm making light of this, but it's, can you understand? Can you appreciate? It's with intentionality. The Lord's like, oh yeah. Like, Lord, you know what this church is like? Like, oh yeah, it's perfect for you. That changes how you look. Oh yeah, the pastor's got a bad attitude. He's hard to get along with, and you know, and this and that. And what about the person that sits over in this section? Yeah, they're always this and that. And so, and you're complaining, goes, uh-huh. Because when you learn to love them and walk things out and let them bring out of your life what I want, it'll all be good. It'll all be good. Oh. It's people. I regularly review my growth. I celebrate progress, not perfection. That's why I was saying, we celebrate progress with each other. Sometimes we get into acknowledging that we're not perfect yet. That's always a downer. That doesn't help. Identifying what we aren't yet. I'm still this, I'm still that. Let's celebrate the progress. Yeah, but I'm doing better. Yeah. That's good. That's good. I didn't kick the dog this time, you know? That's good. I didn't slam the car door. I was just thinking it. Great. Awesome. I was only shut down and not talking for 3 days. It used to be a week and a half. This is great. Oh, yeah, honey, you're doing way better. Celebrate progress, not perfection. I restart my growth plan quickly when I have struggled. How many of you learn how to get back up? The goal is not about never falling. The goal is back up. Referring to Trent, he was amazing. Do you know he hardly ever fell? He was so amazing. He just didn't fall very often at all. He was so careful. Like, I'm like, I trip once a day up the steps. This kid was just like careful, like he didn't fall. I don't know what made me think of that. So I watched Shiloh. He falls on purpose. Crash, bam, boom, you know. I see Nate, smash nose. How's that nose doing, Nate? He says to his mom, it hurts. I mean, he looks like he ran right into a brick wall. Boom. Or rock. Something harder than his nose. It's not about never crashing. It's about quick recoveries. And you know what hinders quick recoveries? It's not that you can't get up. It's the shame and the feelings. I shouldn't have fallen. Whatever. It's the biggest joke in our house when I trip up the steps. It's the same steps. You'd think I'd learn after all these years of living in the same house. I've even got my ruler out. What is wrong? It's kind of at the same place, but I can't figure out why. It's right there. I mean, the dog is old and blind and whatever, and he falls less than I do. I don't stop and go, oh my God, I fell again. I can't believe this. I just laugh. whatever. Keep moving. Got places to go, things to do. But you fell. Whatever. I'm back up. I'm walking. I'm talking. I'm doing tricks, you know. Seriously, if you fall, this is great to understand about the Lord. This is transforming. He says he holds you by, you won't fall headlong. Like, you may stumble. You may, you know, crash, but there's this sense that he's there. Back up. Let's go. That's great, because you can get into the performance thing and go, oh, my God, I can't believe I fell. I struggled. I did this again. Oh, my gosh. Whatever. Shake it off. Acknowledge it for what it was and get back up and move. There's no value for staying there. There's no value back to the funny thing. There's no value to me being halfway up the stairway. My wife doesn't go, oh, you're amazing. You're there having remorse and repentance over stumbling again over the steps. It'd be foolish, wouldn't it? I was like, and no, and Phyllis, she'd come over and slap me or something, you know, get up. Like, what? I ain't got no time for this. Don't stay there. Get up. You lose your direction, restart. Hit replay. Hit new game. I don't know. How do you look? Just get back at it. Just get back at it. Okay, you've been in a daze for a couple weeks. Wake up. Let's go. Or a couple years, whatever. Like, snap back. As I focus on Jesus and spend time in his presence, I am being transformed into his likeness. And then there are three things. The wisdom to add to the declarations. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring, up key areas of growth to focus on. It's easy to get discouraged if we approach personal growth on our own and in our own strength. God will always provide the grace we need to develop in areas he is highlighting. Number two, partner with others in your personal growth journey. It is simpler to grow and change if we do it with others who are passionate about personal growth. These growth catalysts can encourage us and help us see things from another perspective. They can also motivate us when we grow weary. You need people in your life that care about you, but care about you so much that don't allow you to just stay there and feel bad. You need people in your life that listen, care. Of course, we need that. We need love. We need the compassion. But we need people that are also able to go, okay, let's move on from here. Are you just complaining, or do you want to change? Or do you want free from this? It's exasperating to listen to someone that only wants to complain about something and doesn't want to do anything about it. That's tough. Now, I can listen all day to people that really struggling, but they want to get to the bottom of it. They want free. I'm good with that. But that is the difference. Okay, let's hear it. What happened? What are you feeling? And when you come to that, it's like, okay, how do we get free? How do you get free? What's the answer? What can you change? Can you control them? Can you control the situation? No. Can you control yourself? Yes. Can you choose something here? What is there to choose? Choose that. Consume books, audio messages that will inspire growth. Take advantage of key moments in life to feed on inspiring messages. For example, when you're getting ready, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. There are ways to renew your mind. Be inventive, be creative. Your budget, your whatever, find a way. There's a way. Don't let anything be an excuse for not having good input. And you need a whole lot more than Sunday morning. We need input and good positive input. And as I find other leaders and you get into their private lives, they're like, oh, I listen to good stuff all the time. I listen to teachers. I listen to things that inspire. I listen to testimonies. I listen to good reports. And again, in all seriousness, be careful with the news. Be careful even with Facebook. You have to manage these things. Be careful with anything that is a lot of complaint and a lot of thing of that nature. It affects you. You never get to read that. It's never free. It always costs you something. And you give yourself to that. Make healthy choices here. It's important. Let's grow. Let's not concede. Let me read something out of Romans 8, since I've talked so much about it. And we'll close with that. This is 8:18. I'm convinced that any suffering we endure is nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that will soon be unveiled within us. The entire universe waits with excitement, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. You have a destiny to be a son, to be a daughter, and there's an unveiling of your life. The Lord wants to unveil. In verse 26, it goes on to say, and in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately plans before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. As soon as I can in the mornings, I begin to be thankful to the Lord. I just interact, and I don't wake up fast, you know, like so. It's not pretty. But as soon as I'm consciously able, I just start making expressions of giving thanks. Nothing profound, just simple, just to acknowledge, thank the Spirit, praise, thank Jesus. Just simple utterance as I'm just lying there, waking up, and I just reach out to connect with him and talk and give things over and get that right from the first moment. Make things right. Get connected. Be connected with him in my interaction. Amen. Let me pray over all of you. Father, we just thank you so much for this day and this meeting. Just take some moments before you. Any strongholds of hopelessness, I just break in Jesus' name. That there's an area you can't change in, that you're locked into things, just break that in Jesus' name. I just ask that every one of us would be stirred up to have hope, to be encouraged. You can change, you can improve. Even things that for many years have been strongholds, they have to go. They cannot stay. They cannot stay. You are not a victim. Our promises in Christ and what he has for us, they need demonstrated and manifested, but not given up on, not hopeless.
Song that said that he's a pledge, that the Holy Spirit pledges himself to us. And I felt like he wanted us to, or me or any of us, to pray that revelation. You have a pledge. You have the Holy Spirit in you that pledges to finish the work that he started. And so what I want you to do is, if you'll stand, and I want you to lay hands on one another. I believe that what Rick is saying today, and it is this place of growing, it's this place of coming into maturity, like I said in the beginning, pretty soon the Holy Spirit's going to break out and we need to be ready. So in reference to what Rick is talking about, I want to pray this over you. So lay hands on the person beside you. And if you don't have someone, get close. Go across the line.
Amen. Amen.
The Trinity is involved. Hear these words. The Trinity is involved in maturing a bride for Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the ones who will shape your identity. Father, I ask for revelation that their identity will be shaped by your, by the Godhead, not your friends or your past. I break off any hindrance from the past that has shaped your identity in Jesus' name. And I declare it is the Holy Spirit that will shape your identity. Listen to the voice of the Godhead speaking to you. It says he will, they will enhance your beauty, encircling you with golden rings of love. This is out of the Song of Solomon. The beautiful Godhead is committed to making you beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He is committed to you. Gold in the scripture points to the divine character. The day will come when the maiden will be Christ-like, made in the image of his character. This is the grace work of God. He makes us like gold as we continue in our sacred journey in the grace of God. The heart of an extravagant worshiper of Jesus is like refined gold. He promises her that where she lacks, he will supply. The bridegroom promises to complete the work of refining her heart. It is Jesus' responsibility to make you shine like gold. God promises to work on you if you will not give up. You are only a failure in life if you quit. You will be one who moves on until his gold is found in you. When Rick was saying those words and earlier, I just felt that the Lord was saying this. Do not quit. The Lord is the one that is refining you. He's going to make you glorious. I told Rick this morning in the Song of Solomon, we are called. You can't help yourself to want to be great. It is a desire that God placed in your life for you to be great. Mm-hmm. And you've got to find your greatness in him. Mm-hmm. He wants to make every one of you great. So as you lay hands on each other, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will be great in the Lord Jesus, that you will finish the task that God has created you to fulfill, that you will find yourself as overcomers, that you will understand that the Holy Spirit is been given to you. It is his pledge to finish the work that he started, and the desires and the promises and the dreams that you have, if you will not quit, he will bring them to pass. He will bring them to pass, and you will be a glorious bride on the day of his coming. It is ours. It's for you. Now, I want you to imagine Holy Spirit inside of you, shaking his head. Yes, I'll do it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good. You can keep that. Amen. God bless all of you.